First, let me say how much I truly and genuinely excited to be here. One reason is because I've been here before, and I got invited back, okay? That's cool, all right? They knew what they were getting, all right? So thank you for letting me come back. It's been about 10 years. I did this as an all-day Sunday presentation 10, 12 years ago. I remember it well. You were very, very generous in your concern for what I was speaking of and so on. Let me, since I know that I'm got plenty of time tonight, this is normally three sessions, and I'm spreading it out to four. It's normally 45 minutes, and I've got an hour, all right? So I can take my time, which means I can tell a few stories here and there, all right? Let me tell you how I did this or why I did this, because it affects what I have to say. Back when I was in school at Oklahoma Christian, Dr. Ron Beaver was my primary professor. I was a mass communication major. And he was an elder in the church at Britton Road back then in Oklahoma City, and he still is. And I graduated 40 years ago next month, or month after next, all right? Long time. But every day in class, he would tell us, as you become a better communicator, you become more obligated to use it for the Lord's service. Now, when you hear that every day for 2 years, after a while, it sort of sticks. And so later on, when I was in graduate school at SFA, my primary professor, his hobby was media effects. And I was studying two things. I went to graduate school for two reasons. Now, one was to study that, but I was also learning to be a professional Church of Christ fundraiser. Y'all, I admit it, I'm a fundraiser, all right? I've been doing that for most of 30 years, and that's still my primary job right now. But anyway, what happened was he emphasized media effects, especially on children, so much that it gave me the foundation to start my own studies. Years later, I put together a one-hour presentation, which is what we're going to be looking at tonight. And later on, took a class where I took a class in putting together professional presentations at West Texas A&M University. And they required me to put together a three-hour seminar. So I expanded this from 1 hour to 3 hours. But what you're looking at here is my foundation. I've been talking on this topic here, about television specifically, for about 20 years. You are not getting the same lecture I gave 20 years ago. It has changed immensely. And actually, I've been in Christian childcare for a long time. I was with Cherokee Home for Children for 15 years. I became the director for 5 years, and so I quit doing these presentations for 5 years. When I started back, oh man, the world had changed. When I quit about 7 years ago, we didn't talk about social media. We brought it up, but we didn't know anything about it, really. Now, it'll be what I'm speaking on tomorrow, specifically. But let me tell you the truth. A couple of months ago, when I was redoing this, I thought about dropping the television part. I mean, let's talk about social media. Let's talk about video games. Let's talk about all the other problems with the internet. Then I do my research. I'm an analyst. I study this stuff. I love numbers. And let me tell you what, this television stuff is important. It has not gotten to be less of a problem. It is more of a problem now than it was. We think that because everything is now related to our cell phones, and I'll be talking about that intensely tomorrow, television is still a big issue, and especially with the younger children. So we're going to look at television tonight. Tomorrow I have a section I sometimes call social media for seniors, and I don't mean seniors in high school, all right? Because most of the time when I present this at churches, and this is about my 130th presentation, when I present it, most of the time I don't have anybody that doesn't have gray hair, all right? That's just the way the church is right now, especially in rural communities. But grandparents and great-grandparents and parents need to understand this. That's what I do is I give you the foundation to understand at least the gist of that. And on the next evening, which is Wednesday, and we'll have other people from the congregation here, it's a sermon of sorts on how a good Christian family works. The material is not original to me, but it is exceptionally good material that will help you. If you get that one down, everything else we're talking about is a moot point, all right, if you can get the parenting part down. So we'll talk about that on Wednesday. Then on Thursday, everything that I have not got in yet that I need to move into it is what Thursday will be. So thank you for letting me be here. Let's talk about Let's talk about television. Oh, I need to, before I forget, I need to let you know that my wonderful wife of 40 years is right there. Okay, all right, okay. We celebrated our 40th anniversary Garland, our son works for the Dallas Opera, and we went to his opera performance about four or five weeks ago, and came up here for that. We are staying with our daughter that lives in Mansfield. Our son-in-law is the youth minister at the Lakeside Church Christ in Mansfield. So we're glad to be here and have a place to stay as well. If you have any questions for me, please bring it up. If you have anything that you want me to talk about later, and there usually is, that I seem to have skipped, bring it up to me. If I'm not going to talk about it later, at least I will look at it. But most of the time that I've done this, every time, someone has come up to me after and said, well, why didn't you talk about this, 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 and this, this? A list. And I tell you, when you give me about 20 hours at one time, I will cover most of this in a concise manner. We're only scratching the surface on any of this. But that's better than nothing. I consider my primary purpose of these seminars are to give you the ability to talk to your child. Because sometimes we don't even have enough to speak the same language, especially on social media. I like this section the most, though, because it's just fun. I like talking about television. It's part of who I am, part of who you are. And it did not switch. There we go. Another thing that I have to acknowledge is that everything we're speaking about this week is about morality. When I talk about this topic, I really, truly believe that if we would get the moral and the Bible teaching down, most, if not all, of the problems that we will discuss that are created by the media would not be a problem.
Amen.
This is a parenting issue here. The media is the tools, or it's the method. It's the platform. But the foundation to doing this right is teaching our children the Bible in their homes and at church. If you get that down and get that down right, then most of these other problems will go away. I truly believe that. Matthew chapter 8, 22 and 23. The eye is the lamp of the body, so then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? We take in stuff all the time. Our children take in stuff all the time. If we're taking in dark stuff, then we're going to be dark on the inside. If we're taking in light stuff, we're going to be light on the inside. That's what Christ told us. And so we need to look to take in more light stuff. Take in the good stuff. And the main place we're going to get that is from the Bible and from Bible studies and things of that sort. The psalmist talked about how a young man could do this in Psalm 119, 9 through 16. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. As we go through this, there will be some scriptures at the bottom of some of these. I won't typically read those scriptures, but pay attention to them as well, because they'll highlight the point that I'm trying to make. Let's talk about TV. There's a lot of good, a lot more mediocre, and there's a lot of bad. The average person, okay, let me finish that first, then I'll give you my statistic. The average person will spend 9 years of their lives watching TV. The average person will spend 9 years of their lives watching TV. Now I'm going to give you, I'm full of numbers and I'm full of statistics, and I'm going to give you the most depressing one yet. First, we are statistically normal. We are statistically normal. Within the churches of Christ on all issues related to this, they studied us. on all issues related to this, with a slight exception of we divorce a little bit less. Outside of that, on all these social issues that we might talk about, we're normal. So when I tell you that 75% of the men in this congregation, or let me rephrase that, 75% of the men in the world periodically view pornography, we're statistically normal. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. So when I talk about your child here, and I don't mean this in a negative way, I just want you to know we're normal. We are normal. We don't do anything any different just because we walk into this church building when it comes to media effects. That's a depressing topic, and I'm sorry to bring it up so early, but I had to get it out of the way. Let's talk about television. What are you missing? The young and the old are the groups that watch the most. The two groups that watch the most are the 4 to 6 years old. The 4 to 6 group are the second largest group of television participants, 4 to 6. The biggest group is the 65 to 70. They watch more. So it's those that don't have anything better to do than watch television are the ones that are watching TV. All right. But the 4 to 6 is the second largest group. The average person watches, remember, average, watches over 5 hours of TV a day. That's up from 4 hours 10 years ago. Now, I've updated all my statistics about 3 months ago. And this startled me that things aren't getting better. All right. I thought we would be watching less TV because we're spending more time with our cell phones. But no, those two age brackets, at least, is a cumulative section, are watching more TV. That means the average 4 to 6 year old is now watching 5 hours a day instead of four. 67% of Americans always or often watch television while eating dinner, up from 40% 10 years ago. You've probably got a TV in your house. We're going to talk about how many in just a minute, okay? All right. 56% of children ages 8 to 16 have a TV in their bedrooms. We will specifically talk about that topic. All right. 70% of daycare centers use TV during the day. The average American youth, and this number has been verified over and over, the average American youth spends over 900 hours per year in school and 1,200 hours a year watching television. And these are new numbers, by the way. 55% of young adults admit to postponing their bedtimes for the internet or TV. Internet gets involved there. Now, I love this next number. This just goes to prove that my statistics are current. The average American sees 1 million TV commercials by the time they're 55. Half the number that they would have watched 10 years ago. Think about this a moment. What's different? There's some initials involved here. DVR. Okay? We don't watch as many commercials, all right? We don't watch near as many commercials. Why? Because we got DVRs, we got cable boxes, we got things that we can skip the commercials. Notice there, this used to say that they watch 2 million commercials by the time of age 55. Now it says they only watch 1 million commercials, and we don't. And that's one reason, if you want to have a lunchtime conversation with me, let's talk about why CBS had to put Star Trek on CBS All Access. I actually think it was a good idea, and I can justify it financially, but that's not what we're here to talk about. Okay. 54% of 4 to 6 year olds, when asked, would rather watch TV than spend time with their fathers. More than half of the 4 to 6 year olds in a serious study, very serious study, would rather watch TV than spend time with their dads. All right, let's talk about the number of TVs. In the U.S., more homes have televisions than bathrooms. That's according to the U.S. Census. You're much more likely to have, or you are more likely to have a television in the bathroom. The average number of TVs per house is 2.24. And 65% of all the homes in America have 3 or more televisions. Televisions are still a big thing. Recently, 56% of Americans paid for cable TV. Now, I think that number probably includes satellite as well. Satellite is considered a version of cable TV. Now, this is changing quickly due to internet services such as Netflix, Amazon Prime, CBS All Access, and so on. You're going to see the whole world change related to where you get your television viewing in the next few years, especially now that Disney has produced their version of Netflix. All right. Pretty soon, you're not going to be watching ABC, NBC, or CBS at all. You're going to have everything hooked to the internet, and you're going to be watching these access channels. It's an interesting world out there if you're trying to keep up with it. 6 million videos are still rented every day, though. Those little red boxes at every McDonald's or Walmart or wherever you have them at, I travel all over. I think every McDonald's in the country has a red box in front of it. All right. 49% of Americans admit that they watch too much TV. 49% of us believe and admit they will watch TV. Now let's have some fun with this. And this is the same quiz I used last time I was here, just the numbers have changed a little bit. And I do not have my hearing aids in, so if you respond, you're going to have to respond loudly. Okay? I've lost my hearing aids. All right. At what age do children begin imitating behavior they see on television or in the videos? At 14 months or 2 years? I think most of you said 14 months. That is correct. That is correct. If you don't think so, put your 14-month-old in front of the TV and see what happens. All right? They will be imitating part of it. When are children exposed to the most violence on TV? This used to say, when I was here last time, the second option was Saturday morning cartoons. There are no longer officially any Saturday morning cartoons. It's been about a year that the last official Saturday morning cartoon schedule was done away with. Now you've got the cartoon channel. You've got cartoons anywhere and everywhere. But when are they going to see the most? Is it going to be during the prime time or is it going to be during the cartoons? I think most of you said cartoons. Yes. Now, we're talking about a different level of violence here. It is true that the intensity of the violence and the grossness of the violence is probably going to be more on prime time, but on the quantity per minute, that's what they go by. They go by how much violence per minute, cartoons are going to be worst. My favorite movie, period, I'm sorry, y'all, I'm confessing here. My favorite movie, period, is the original Red Dawn. Okay? The original Red Dawn, not the second one. I like the second one, but the first one was a whole lot better. All right? Red Dawn is a World War III movie about a bunch of kids in Colorado who the Cubans and the Russians come and start killing everybody, and they go hide out in the woods and fight guerrilla warfare with the Russians and the Cubans until World War III is over. It's a war movie. It got the rating as the most violent movie out that month. Okay? It should. People shot up and killed all over the place in that movie. Do you know what movie beat it, though? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I'm serious. On the most violence per minute, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles came out right after it and beat it in quantity of violence per minute. So don't think that cartoons don't have a lot of violence in them as well. Media experts say that parents should limit screen time to how many hours per day max? 1 to 2, 2 to 3, or 3 to 4? 1 to 2 is what the experts say. I say more power to you if you think you can do it. Okay? All right? Remember, average is 4 to 5? Okay? Average is 5? So if you can get them down 2 to 3, you're cutting it in half. So I try there first. All right? And I don't think anybody should go cold turkey trying to do 1 or 2 hours when your child is used to 5. That's not going to work. All right? But it is good to cut the number down. What are the documented negative effects of over 4 hours of screen time per day for children? And there's now been, I think it's over 4,000 studies that have to do with this. And I don't have to let you guess on this one. It's all the above. Increased risk of obesity. That is considered the number one problem of obesity in our country, is not only the food that our children are eating, but the fact that they never get outside. One of the books that I recommend, I don't know if I have it in my hand or not, it's called Last Child in the Woods, Dealing with Nature Deficit Disorder. Isn't that a cool term? Last Child in the Woods, Dealing with Nature Deficit Disorder. It's a book about how to get your child out in the woods, even if you live in the city, how to get them outside. All right. Risk of obesity, increased adult use of drugs and alcohol. Why? Because we become totally desensitized to drug and alcohol on television. It's there all the time. And then lower reading scores. Why? Because if you're watching TV, you're not learning how to read. All right. So that's pretty simple. How should parents help their children consume media products responsibly? This is an all of the above. You don't have to guess on this one. Tell them of what you approve and disapprove and why you feel that way. Watch TV with them and explain things to them. I'm going to come to this again in a few minutes, but this is the slide that's related to this one. I consider my most important slide in this entire presentation. You've got to tell your children what you believe and why you believe it. You're not going to be able to avoid bad content. If you're watching TV at home as a family, you're not going to be able to avoid that bad content. It's going to be there. And it's too late to make it disappear because it's already showed. Talk about it. We'll talk about this more in a minute, but talk about what you think and why you think it. I'll say this again and again this week. It is not your children's job to act like they care what you think. But they do. They do. My kids are all grown. Oldest two are married. We've had all these various family activities where we get to talk about each other. All right? They can quote everything I ever said. Good and bad. I don't care what things. I had no idea I was being recorded. And I wasn't actually being recorded, but I was being recorded in their head. Your children remember what you said. They call it a mosaic morality, in that your children, our children, they have everybody telling them what they believe, what to believe. They have you, they have the school teacher, they have the preacher, they have their best friend, their best friend's parents, they have the television, they have this music over here. All these things are telling them what to believe. And they don't know who to believe. And sometimes they believe the wrong ones. But every study says that there's one person they would prefer to believe if that person would tell them what they believe. And that's their mom and dad. So tell your children what you believe and why. They are not going to like it. Sometimes they're going to disagree with you. But guess what? They will remember. And when it comes to a critical point in their life where they're having to make a decision, an ethical or moral decision, they very well may remember exactly what you said and how to do it. But they can't do that if you're not active enough to tell them what you believe and why. That's the most important thing I'm going to say in this whole presentation. Tell your children what you believe and why. Okay, what's the youngest age a child should start using a computer? 2 years, 3 years, or 5 years? What's that? Most of you say five. The experts actually say three. I don't have an opinion on this one way or the other. I'm just telling you what the experts say. All right. What's that? Okay, we're going to come to that tomorrow. I have a whole section on that. She's talking about using television and the internet for predators. Okay, we talk about predators tomorrow. Thank you, though. Okay, 3 years. Okay, now here's the most fun one. Okay, question. I asked this question last time. I'm going to ask this question again. How many of you use your V-chip?
What's the V-chip?
We'll come to that. How many of you use your V-chip? Okay. If any of you, this is my 130th presentation. If any of you had raised your hand, you'd have been person number 10 out of 130 presentations. You've got a V-chip. Well, okay, and I say this almost in humor. This is almost tongue-in-cheek, but it's real. Back in 2002, President Clinton signed a law that said that every television has to have a V-chip in it. What that V-chip does, it gives you the ability to program your television so that certain programs won't work or certain programs with certain ratings won't work. And if you don't have it in your TV, you've got it in your cable box. And if you don't have it in your cable box, you will have it in your TV. But if you're not using it there, you also probably have it in your cable box, and you probably also have it on your satellite receiver. All these parental controls. Now, here's the problem with it. If your TV is less than 19 years old and over 13 inches, it's required by law to have it still. All right? So you pay $15 for your TV, for it to be there, all right? If it's smaller, it probably has one. Walmart required it from the day the law was passed in all of their televisions, all right? Your satellite or cable box probably has it, and no, you're probably not using it. I say that to say, and this, the reason I bring that up, we complain about what's on our televisions when we do have tools to do something about it. The government gave us those tools. They also gave the other companies permission to put the trash on there, but they gave us the tools, okay? But no one uses them. Yes, sir?
So how does the meat chip apply to streaming services like Hulu?
They don't. It only works on, the V-chip only works on broadcast channels, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, and the others. That's the other part of it. That's where your cable box comes in, or you should have some kind of parental controls on your cable box or your satellite receiver. Okay, all right, and they don't. Yes, ma'am.
Well, if we have a V-chip, why you know about it and we don't?
Because you didn't read the owner's manual. I mean, that's the answer. That's the correct answer. I wouldn't have been sarcastic. You did not read the owner's manual. Okay, all right. Yes, sir.
To answer his question, I do believe with Netflix or certain streaming media or systems like that, you can go in and configure that to turn the parental controls on.
Yeah, there's, you're right.
I was just curious about whether the V-chip can do it as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there is parental controls for all this. We'll spend some time tomorrow talking about parental controls, especially on the internet. But I'm just telling you, on your television. And the other side of that, and this isn't in my script, but I'm going to tell you this. The FCC's job, the Federal Communication Commission's job, is to make sure that only decent stuff comes on your television. All right? And that's because we all own a millionth of the frequency allocation that's out there. There's only so many frequencies and only so much space, frequency space, to send those signals. I'm not talking about specifically antenna type television, all right? The problem with that is that when you put that cable in your house, you're doing away with the FCC. When you put that cable in your house, you're saying, I'm allowing them to send anything in my house that they want to. So if you've got cable in your house, you have absolutely no right to complain what comes on your TV. Absolutely none. Because you gave somebody written legal permission to put that in your house. You know good and well as I do that when you put that cable in your house, you've got the equivalent of an adult bookstore coming into your house.
Right.
I'm not saying you shouldn't do it and you shouldn't have the cable in your house. I'm just saying don't gripe about it because you gave them permission to put that in your house. I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to get ahead of myself. If your TV is less than 19 years old, we covered that. Okay. Why are we so apathetic, talking about my generation now, all of us? I'm 64, almost 65, and my entire generation is pretty apathetic about this topic, all right? Why is that so? Part of it is because we've always had to deal with it. My mom, I asked her one time, I was born in October 54. I said, Mom, when did we get our first television? She said, January 55. How much of my life have I done without television? Basically, none of it. Do I like my TV? Yes, I do. You probably like your TV as well. And that's one reason we don't like controlling this. Victor Strasburger said, perhaps many adults are quick to dismiss the influence of television because they do not want to admit that they too have been influenced by it. Yeah, I'm influenced by TV. You are too. We all are. Okay? We just didn't need to acknowledge that. Let's go back to scripture for just a moment. Talk about the trash that we might take in. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for the whole body to be cast into hell. He's just telling us this is a serious, serious issue. The first time I made this presentation, I did it at the Grace Street Church Christ in Crockett. The minister, very good friend of mine, he came up to me after and he says, Delton, you're wrong about the way you're presenting some of this. TV is a problem, but electronics are not necessarily a problem. Let me tell you how the conversation went. I am speaking here today about television. Tele, that's distance vision. Your monitor hooked to a VCR. We don't do those anymore. Your monitor to hook to your DVD player or your DVR. It is not television. That's not television. That's a monitor playing something. Today, I'm specifically speaking all day long about television. That means stuff that's coming into your house. You need to watch it. You need to watch it. I mean, watch what your child has access to. This particular man, who is a minister, had very, very tight controls over what his children were allowed to have in their DVD that they had in their bedroom. All right? And so the question is, if you can control it, it's one thing. But if you're not controlling, it's different. Yes, ma'am. YouTube is part of social media, and we'll be talking about that tomorrow. But it's, well, it's not, technically it's not social media, but it's considered social media. It's, what's that? Television is ABC, NBC, CBS. Okay. Those are television, or your satellite receiver. Satellite is still television. Your cable box is still television. If it's coming from away, okay, I'm talking about a monitor would be something that's recorded, okay, that you're watching. And that can be controlled. You can control what your kid's watching. If you can, you can control that, but you can't control what ABC is going to send across the air. That's the difference. My favorite story related to this to prove the point. My second presentation ever was at the Brentwood Oaks Church Christ. Did I have that right? Over in Fort Worth? Yeah, Brentwood Oaks. Or Brentwood Church Christ. Brentwood, y'all know which one I'm talking about. They're on the east side of town. I've been in hundreds of churches. I get their names mixed up. This lady walks up to me. She says, I'm one of the elders' wives. I'm the nurse at a dentist office. And one of the deacon's wives brought the little six-year-old boy in to see the dentist office that I work at. And while the mother goes back to talk to the dentist after the exam, I asked little Johnny, I don't remember his real name. I said, Johnny, what do you like to do in your spare time? And he says, I like to watch TV. And she says, what kind of TV do you like to watch? Quote, I like to watch those naked women late at night. Y'all, that is what's wrong with a TV hooked to the cable in your kid's bedroom. They discover real quick what comes on Showtime at 2 a.m. Okay? All right. Let's talk about the effects. Now we're going to talk for a few minutes about the accumulation of those 4,000 studies. Now, everything that we're looking at here has pretty well been proven. And I don't have the quote in here anymore, but the American Psychiatric Association, the American Association of Pediatric Physicians, there's a letter that every organization related to the care of children, every medical organization related to the care of children in this country signed off on. And it basically said TV causes violence in our children. Not we think it does. It does. All right. So let's talk about the direct effects. These are all things that have been proven. Increased aggressive behavior and increased willingness to use violence. When I was in graduate school, one of the things we laughed at was that it took 2 years by the time somebody figured it out. I mean, it took 2 years after somebody figured it out before it made it into a book. But we also laughed at how much we already knew before anybody had to do a study. Now, do you believe that if your kid watches violent television that they will imitate it? Oh, duh, yes, okay. All right? The study that they made a study in school. They call it the Bobo doll study. I think it was 1966. They took a bunch of 6 or 7 year old boys and they let them watch very passive cartoons. They took another group of 6 or 7 year old boys and they let them watch very aggressive cartoons. Then they put them into a room with one of these blow up Bobo dolls. Most of you don't know what I'm talking about. I do remember them. There's like an inflated Santa Claus, sand in the bottom. Okay? But it was a clown. All right? And then they filmed to see what happened when these boys came into the room with this big blow-up doll. The kids that had watched the aggressive cartoons beat up the Bobo doll. And the kids that didn't. We all know that. We all know the kid sees something, he's going to imitate it. I've got a 3-year-old grandson who will imitate anything like that immediately. Okay? The second it's done. So increased aggressive behavior, increased willingness to use violence. But I try to be current on my research, so let me go ahead and give you the other side of this. The new research says that yes, it will make them more violent, but it's not as permanent as we thought it was. In other words, it's a short-term effect most of the time. And that's good. I'm glad it's a short-term effect. I'm glad it doesn't make them permanently more violent. All right. Desensitization, increased acceptance of violence is normal. We all get desensitized. I'm startled at some of the stuff I watch on TV that doesn't bother me anymore. There's stuff you watch on TV that used to bother you, and it doesn't bother you anymore. I'm thinking about specifically our crime dramas, okay? They can get pretty graphic. We used to get grossed out when we saw that stuff. Now we just ignore it and go about our business. We know it's not real, okay? Go about it. But our children don't always know the difference between what's real and what's not real. And so they see that and they think, well, that guy solved his problem by beating up the other kid. Maybe I need to solve my problem by beating up that kid that's bothering me. All right? We all become desensitized. I really tell you, if you want to just convince you how desensitized we've become, look at the commercials on TV. And one of these days, I'm going to have an entire section just on TV commercials. All right? Because the commercials are now on broadcast channels are now as much, if not more, of a problem than the programs themselves. And I'm going to speak out loud on the one that startled me. Do you remember when they first came out with feminine hygiene products on TV? That embarrassed the heck out of all of us. Now we don't even think about it. It's perfectly normal. Right. Same way with the ED commercials, and I can give you a list of commercials that we are now just going about our business. That's how much we've become desensitized. Mean world syndrome is one that probably bothers me the most of these problem areas. It's an increased fearfulness or increased belief that the world is as dangerous as the television world. My most humorous statistic to me is this one. According to the experts, if we died as quickly in real life as we did on television, the world would be depopulated in 28 days. We're watching people killed all the time. What they're saying here is, let me give you the background on this. Most of the studies here were done in what we would refer to as the projects in Chicago. They went to these kids who never went past a 14-block area to go to school, go to church, go to everywhere. They stayed in a centralized area because they couldn't go anywhere else. And they surveyed them to see what they thought of the world. Their impression of the world was what they saw on television. Now, that could be good and that could be bad because there's good stuff on TV and there's bad stuff on TV. But if you watch, if you watch CSI Miami, okay? It's an old rerun now, but y'all know where I'm coming from. And you get offered a job in Miami, and this is the most responsible thing to do. Are you going to take it if you're a kid that watches CSI Miami all the time? No, because you know you're going to die on day two. Okay? All right? Seriously. And so there's a problem with this increased belief that the world is as dangerous as the television world. The world is a dangerous world, but it's not as dangerous on a day-to-day basis as what we see on television. Our children will sometimes limit what they do out of fearfulness that they don't want to be a part of that. What can you do about this? I skipped a slide. I don't know why, so I'm going to just go out of order here. I want to talk very briefly about that topic I bring up earlier of your child having a TV in their bedroom. It's a bad idea. I don't care whether it's hooked to a monitor. I don't care whether it's hooked to the cable. It is not a good idea for your child to have a TV in their bedroom. Can't give you any hard, fast statistics on that. But I can give you one study. They did a correlation study. Now, a causation study says A happened to B happened and caused C. Correlation study says that A is associated with B and it probably caused C. All right? It's the best I can explain it. They did a correlation study related to the education level of parents and whether their child had a TV in their bedroom or not. And it was a pretty conclusive study. The better educated the parent, the less likely the child was to have a TV in their room. I just say take that for what it's worth. Those who have had the opportunity to study it in detail know that it's not a good idea for your child to have a TV in their bedroom. Now let's face it, y'all, we're going to be talking about phones tomorrow. They've already got a TV in their bedroom if they take their phone with them to their room at night, which I think is a bad idea too. Do what you can there. Okay, how do we protect our children from this? What can we actually do? Because it doesn't do any good to give you all these numbers if I don't give you some way of something to do with it. Number one, pay attention to the programs your children watch and watch some of them with them. If you've got a job, if you work, and most of us have jobs and work, you do not have time to watch as much TV as your child does. But know what they're watching. Pay attention to the watching and watch some of it with them, especially the more questionable programs, because it gives you the opportunity to, number one, know what they're taking in so that you can understand what kind of problems they might have from it, but it also gives you the ability to talk about those issues. Set limits on the amount of time they spend with television. I believe that for most children, I'm talking about all the way up to teenagers, my personal opinion is 2 hours a night is a pretty generous schedule. 2 hours a night, if I was doing it again, and I don't remember how much our children watched. We were house parents at a children's home, so I don't remember what we did. But 2 hours, my opinion, 2 hours would be generous, okay? But let me tell you something else. It's not in my slides here. If you want to empower a child, and there's multiple children, you know, 2, 3, 4, okay? Let them pick. Use picking the television show for that night as a reward. You have seriously empowered the child when you let them do that, all right? So use the TV for what it is. It's a tool. Use it for a positive tool. Now, here's a very important slide because we live in Texas. Point out that although the actor has not actually been hurt or killed, such violence in real life results in pain or death. If your child watches Wile E. Coyote get squashed by the 40-ton rock 5 times in an hour, what does that 2 or 3 year old think? That 40-ton rocks do not really squash coyotes, that they're okay. Or they see someone killed on a television show, a crime drama, and then they're back next week in a rerun. What does that say? It's that son, that gun didn't really kill him. Well, let me tell you why I say it's significant that we live in Texas. We have 5.4 guns per person in Texas. 5.4 guns per person. That's not per house. Okay? All right? Valerie is generally anti-gun. I got 3. I inherited them. All right? And because we've got so many weapons in our homes, we need to make real sure that our 2 and 3 year olds know that if they accidentally do something with it, somebody might die. Amen. Which means do all the safety things. Lock them up good. Put the locks on them. Do all those things you need to do. If you need to get rid of them, get rid of them. But make sure that that 2 or 3 year old knows that if you point that gun at me and pull the trigger, I might die. That's right. Because they see it happen on TV all the time. And we all know of situations where we've seen those that we've loved or those related to those we've loved where there was a sadder story here. So because we've got so many guns, make sure your little ones know just how dangerous they are and take all the precautions that you can. Refuse to let children see shows known to be violent. Change the channel or turn off the TV when something offensive comes on with an explanation of what's wrong with the program. The most powerful media tool there is the remote control. Humorous statistic. Who's got the remote control in their hand 94% of the time? Somebody say it out loud. Daddy does. Yeah. But in a house that has a husband and wife and children, 94% of the time the remote control is in the hand of the daddy. Why? Because we love that control. All right. So if they're watching something, if you're watching something and something bad comes on and the dad doing the responsible thing pauses it, mutes it, stops it, whatever he has to do depending on the technology, what does he have then more than any other time in his child's life? Their attention. Because until he gets through talking, he's not going to turn it back on. This is your best learning tool, the best training tool you have, period. Forget media, period. This is your best training tool because your child wants to continue. But they also know that until you get through talking, you're not going to do it. So take advantage of it. You've got their attention. It may be the only time you get their attention. Take advantage. The remote control is the best training tool you have for children. Don't make it a power struggle. Don't do it just because you can. Do it because you want them to learn. And make sure they know that it's because you want them to learn and know. It's already too late. It's probably already showed. All right? But tell them what's wrong with it. Disapprove of violent episodes in front of the children, stressing the belief that such behavior is not the best way to resolve the problem. To offset peer pressure among friends and classmates, contact other parents and agree to enforce similar or enforce your rules about the length of time and type of program they watch. I was in charge of a teenage boy. Valerie and I went to the video store, the VCR store, back when they still had them. And he brought up a movie. And he said, "Delton, can we rent this movie?" I said, "Of course not. It's R-rated." He said, "There's nothing wrong with it. I've seen it 5 times already." Why has he seen it? Going to other people's houses. Other places. If your child is going to someone else's home and you're concerned about this, now this is really more important with video games than it is with television, but they're going to another home, tell that other parent, we don't like to play the M-rated video games, or even, depending on the age of your child, whatever the rating might be, we don't watch this level of television, we don't watch this kind of show. Two things may occur. Number one, they might listen to you. They might not, but if nothing else, they know what you think morally. And that very well may lead into a conversation about your faith and why you feel that way. It's an excellent starting point to start talking about matters of faith. Why do you feel that strange way about not doing this and this and this? It gives you the opportunity to explain it, and it may protect your child. After all, your child is going to, if you tell them they can't watch something or do something, there's a good chance they're going to anyway. So you need to tell them what's wrong with it. The statistic is, if you tell your child they cannot watch a particular television program or see a particular movie, there's a 75% chance they're going to do it anyway. That's not me talking. That's the people that have studied it. 75% of the chance, time your children go around you anyway. So make sure they know what's wrong with it. Let's talk about TV ratings and the V-chip. Okay, I've already wasted my time talking about the V-chip, okay? All right. But let's go ahead and talk about the TV ratings. And the reason I bring this up is because most of you don't know what the ratings are there for. The ratings are there so that if you're dealing with a particular problem with your child, it will tell you what that program is going to have on it. Every broadcast channel, every broadcast program has a rating on it. And we're going to start off with why. This is suitable for all children. Y7, 7 and older. Y7FV is fantasy violence. That's like your action programs, okay? And TVG is suitable for everybody. The difference between a TVG and all the rest of them is you're probably not going to be bored by the TVG. It means it's for everybody, not just for little kids. It's not made necessarily just for little kids, okay? All right, but here, if it's got a TV PG, it will not have that PG without one of these other initials. And that tells you why it got the PG. If it's got moderate violence, it'll have a V, occasional strong language, an S, suggestive dialogue, a D. So if it's a TV PG VSD, and you got a problem with your child cussing too much, you might remember that's just going to increase it, make it worse. All right, so if we go up the ladder, 14, means parents are strongly advised, intense violence, intense sexual situations, intense suggestive dialogue. And then, as I said earlier, the naked women late at night, TVMA, graphic violence, sexual activity, and crude language. Just most of us have never noticed, or many of us have never even noticed those letters up there. They're there, and they're there for a reason, to tell you what's wrong with that program so that you can at least think about whether your child should watch that program or not. And the reason it's included with the V-chip concept is that's what you'd use to program your V-chip. You can use your V-chip and tell it will never play a TVMA VSRL. And your TV won't play it. And you don't have to worry about the kid watching something late at night that they're not supposed to. Even though you won't find a TVMA on a broadcast channel. Hardly ever. Hardly ever. Okay, later on we're going to talk about video games. I'm going to give you one statistic and then I'm going to stop. See if anybody's got any questions. Research indicates, this is new stuff. I was startled. I found this just 3 or 4 months ago. The research indicates that bad TV consumption affects your children worse than bad video game consumption. That startled me, y'all. I've been bad-mouthing video games so long it hurts, all right? But video games are not as bad for our children as bad television. That is startling, but that's what the research says is true. Part of it's because of the long-term and short-term effects. Video game effects are, I'm going to say this out loud, even though I don't want to, video game effects are typically short-term. Okay? I didn't used to think that. I used to think they were long-term. But according to the current research, video game effects are typically short-term. Okay? Television effects are not typically short-term. Okay, anybody got any questions for me? I have another section. Yeah, we're through for this for today. Anybody else they want to bring up? I'll be speaking specifically about social media, give you an introduction to the various platforms tomorrow, how many people are watching them, what the primary problems are, and then the next day we'll talk about parenting in general. Yes, ma'am.
Even with church members, my kid was not allowed to go to people's house if I didn't know what type of code they had.
I think you're.
They call me old fashioned. Now they even make fun of me now, and they're adults. They made fun of me because I was very overprotective, but I would not just allow them to spend the night or go to somebody's house. I don't care if they were a church member until I found out what their complete moral code was.
Okay, yeah, let me explain that to everybody. What she's saying is that there is a. There is good reason to know the family their children are going to. We was talking about earlier about checking things out. Yes, tell them what you think, but check them out ahead of time. Make sure that you know their character so that you know something about them before they go over there. Thank you. Anybody else? I'll give you my opinion. She's asking, what about news? I think we have a problem most of the time in that we protect our children too much, and that they don't know the world as it really is, and there's nothing that will tell you. I tell everybody, I do a sermon, it may be in the sermon I have on Wednesday, I don't remember, but if you want to find out what's going on in the world, watch the PBS Evening News. They talk about every war going on in the world that day, all right? My personal opinion is, let them see it. I'm not going to press that. I don't have strong enough opinion to press that, but that's my personal opinion, is because they need to know what the world is really like. Over here. Yes, ma'am.
You said that video games is short-term.
Video games are short-term. What they're saying is video games do create some significant problems related to a tendency towards violence in our children. But the new research says that tendency to be violent is more of days after, not months or years after. Or which when your kids get through playing a video game, he may go next door and beat up his buddy, all right? But he may settle down after a week or two. That's what the research is saying, is that the long-term effect is still significant, but it's not as significant as we thought it was. I think this should be trashed, okay? All right. She has my opinion of Grand Theft Auto. Most of those programs, one-person shooter games are bad. I'm going to tell you another statistic that people don't like for me to repeat. Every single school shooting has been attached to video games. Every single teenage school shooting, they learned their skill in video games. And somebody argue with me on that one and prove me wrong. You can't do it, all right? Every single school shooting, the teenagers that did it, especially if it's teenage boys, the teenagers that did it learned their shooting skills. That is what's amazed the police officers the most about most of these shootings, is the skill level of these children. I mean, they're able to do things war veterans can't do. Why? Because they practiced and practiced and practiced. Now, that's a solemn and a sad topic, and I sure don't want to end with it, but video games do teach those that have a, and this is what the experts are saying, they're not saying that your kid is necessarily going to go be a school shooter. But if your kid has already has what it takes for him to be that way, it will teach him how to do it better. That's what they're saying. Okay. So they're saying don't worry about your kid if you're raising him right, okay? Or if he's got the right genes. But if he's got the wrong genes or you're raising him wrong, you're in trouble. Yes, sir?
Does any of these video games contribute to...
I couldn't hear you.
Does any of these video games contribute to attention deficit in children?
He's asking if is the video games increase attention or a factor in attention deficit disorder. I don't have a strong opinion. What little bit I've read about it says yes. I've never actually studied that, though. Okay. I believe it does, but I haven't read the studies on it. Okay? Yeah. Okay, anything else? Okay, well, let me go back to the front. Anything else? If not, I hear a few of them wandering around outside. I'm going to say a prayer and we'll be through. Okay? Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. It's going to be a tough battle no matter what. Okay, all right. There's a book. Let me think of the name of it. If not, I'll give it to you tomorrow. I have a list of books that deal with different problems. One of them, I forgot the name. I'll get it tomorrow. But it deals with those parents who have already lost that battle. Okay. And that's going to be a lot of us, okay? We've already lost that battle, and we need to regain our parental authority. I will give you the name of that book tomorrow, okay? It is, I do believe, it's not going to be a cure-all, but it's going to be a whole lot better than nothing.
Right.
And so I will print that tomorrow. I'll print that list tomorrow and bring them with me. Speaking of printing, I have the PowerPoint presentations from everything we're going to do all week. Don't take anything but today's. I have 100 copies of the PowerPoint presentation for today. Some of it's a little hard to read, but you can read it. So I'm going to take these to the back, and whenever you want to pick them up, I'll set them outside on the table out there. Whenever you want to pick them up, it is literally what you just saw here, word for word. And if you want to look at those, I want to say a prayer, then we'll be through. Heavenly Father, as we deal with issues of our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, we pray for wisdom. We pray for help. There's so many things that get in the way, so many struggles. The media have their good points and they have their bad points, and their bad points will harm our children. So help us to be wise. Help us to learn what we need to learn, do what we need to do, so we can raise our children better. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Good job.